All right. Well, this morning I want to share on a topic. I kind of, not that I struggled with it, but I kind of went back and forth on titles. You ever do that when you're teaching? It's like, But I called it Prisoner of Hope. And, you know, when we first started out in life, we were full of a lot of energy, curious excitement, and, boy, we got the greatest vision. One of our believers here just within the last couple of days had a baby, Brittany Honey. Sweet little baby girl, right?
Yeah.
Lillian Grace. And that's been very sweet for her. But a young child, just, you know, everything's new, fresh, energetic, right? We're very willing to try new things, be experimental, be adventurous. We're curious. We have a certain type of innocence. And honestly, that's part of the learning process. Our upbringing, our parents, our friends, they all influence our perspective of life, and even those of us maybe who are a little bit more wise in years, let's say, we even refer to our upbringing, our parents, our environment, the things that we grew up with. But it does influence our perspective of life and what we, quote-unquote, should expect of ourselves and others who are in our lives. We learn to anticipate that things maybe will work out in a certain way, only to realize that for whatever reasons, life takes turns, doesn't it? How our spouse behaves, a child making poor choices, a broken marriage, the death of a spouse, or loss of financial security and other things can lead to feelings of unhealthy hopelessness and discouragement. Discouragement. Boy. And when we really begin to realize we cannot control the situation, no matter how hard we try and how hard we want to and how much effort we put into it, we're faced with some pretty unique choices. And something I've been mentioning, talking, and pondering about is something called unrealized expectations. That is the source of a lot of frustration. Because all of us enter into relationships with other people with certain expectations of how that is going to go. Like the little girl who, you know, always dreamed about the perfect wedding and Prince Charming and the romance and the candlelight and being swept off their feet. Well, that may happen in the courting and honeymoon stage, but maybe eventually that kind of wears out. And then you might just say, well, hey, I was kind of expecting something different here, you know. But it can be the source of a lot of contention. It can be a lot of conflict. Life can be thrown, I'm calling it, unproportionately out of balance. And it can lead to discouragement. You ever been discouraged? Yeah, I have. I used to read that thing about the devil's garage sale. You know, the one that he wouldn't part with was his most important weapon, discouragement. Just get him discouraged. Get him looking down. And also unhappiness, worry. But if we are willing to adjust our expectations to what God has promised, rather than to the fulfillment of our own will, our frustration level can be greatly reduced. Yeah. Right, Joe? Amen. Amen. He gave me that great quote this morning. He doesn't even really know what I'm teaching on, but it worked out so perfectly. So if we are willing to adjust our expectations to what God has promised, rather than at the fulfillment of our own will, our frustration level will be greatly lowered. It will be reduced. We do not have the presence of mind to stay flexible and adjust and adapt and find productive solutions. The course of our lives and the decisions we make can be and most certainly will be dramatically influenced. I love those words. Adaptable, flexible, adjustable. These are things in life that we're all required to participate, right, Gumby?
Right.
Yeah, right. Stay flexible, Gumby, right? Yeah. But boy, how many circumstances, how many situations come into our lives that kind of catch us off guard, and we're not sure if we really want to be adaptable and flexible and willing to change in those environments, especially when it's related to hardship. And we all experience hardship from time to time. There's no one who's exempt or immune. That's a good word to use in today's world. We all experience hardship from time to time. The list of these things that cause you difficult moments, it's endless. You fill in the blank, right? But at some point, everyone comes face to face with a moment where he or she wonders if they will make it through the event that they are experiencing. You just wonder, how much more of this can I take? What is my breaking point? And then sometimes it translates over to, why is this happening to me? Of all of the billions of people on earth, here I am. I'm like the chosen one in the negative. You know? And I felt those times. I felt those emotions. Haven't you all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting when you look at 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church. This was a congregation, a church, a group of people who needed comfort. They needed comfort in order to overcome the adversities that were coming at them from all sides. If anyone ever faced trouble and trials, it was certainly this church. And they really needed to be comforted, and they needed to be strengthened. Paul was not personally there to do it, so he urged them to do it for one another. So if you have a Bible or you just want to listen along, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, great section. 11 and following, there's some wonderful sections in there. And that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, says, wherefore, what?
Comfort
yourselves together, and what?
Edify.
So to comfort yourselves and to edify one another, well, that's not a word we really use a lot, you know. But also what I thought about in this particular section is context. Context. That's a big key in biblical interpretation and understanding. You know, because we could just extract this and just say, well, that is a good thing to do. But the context of this particular statement is in light of the hope. The hope. In that familiar section in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, that says, you're familiar with it. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And what does that mean, fallen asleep? You pass away. You've died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. It means they've died. And they are at that point where they are awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. These are born again saints. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise when? First. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Then verse 18 has this great statement. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words, what are these words? Words of the hope. Words that Christ will return. Christ will gather the church. This isn't the end of the story, guys. We're only in the fifth chapter. There's more chapters to come. If you want to read something really wonderful about the end times, Jan has a great book that she just wrote called The Son of Man and the End Times. What is that the name of it? The Coming of the Son of Man. There you go. So, and that explains the events that are going to happen after the gathering together, which we don't generally spend a lot of time in. But here Paul is inspiring Paul to write this to the church when they're in a great place of mental affliction. to talk about the hope. Dr. Earle said he felt like Are the Dead Alive Now was one of the greatest books he had ever written. And the man wrote a lot of books, right? Some of them with help from the research department. But the hope, the anchor of our soul. And then it goes on. In chapter 5, it says, But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Then this great verse. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In this particular church, like many churches, there were people who were new to the faith. Paul was on his travels, winning Gentiles to the Word, primarily before it had been all Jewish people, Judeans. And they were going through different types of hardship, like everybody does. Meaning that possibly some were experiencing financial difficulty. Maybe others, which we know from reading the Word, were being beaten physically. Were imprisoned, and maybe they lived with the understanding that they might actually end up losing their lives as a result of their commitment and their stand on the Word. And so Paul, I mean, obviously God inspired Paul to write these things. He knew they were undergoing great hardship. So in this verse he wrote, and he told them to comfort one another. And I've got this great song I want to play at this particular time by the Gaither Vocal Band, who I just absolutely love. It's called Prisoner of Hope.
Everyone knows there is pain in this life. We've all seen our share of tears. But I choose to live on the positive side, and I won't be held hostage by fear. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love. Locked up in grace, I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely a prisoner of hope. Some people doubt what they don't understand, but I know what's true in my heart. Now I can't control what's out of my hand, but I can lay back in your arms. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely a prisoner of hope. prisoner of hope.
I'm free to go, but I'll never leave, because there's such comfort there. I'll lay back in his arms. I'll rest in everything that God has done for me. I know this got to be possible. It seems sometimes like a foreign thought. But like I shared a couple weeks ago, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me, brings me to those green pastures, you know, where you can just lay down and rest. Boy, what a great great analogy, great point. But what does it mean when he says that we were to comfort one another in 1 Thessalonians? Well, without getting into a lot of foreign languages, the word comfort really means to encourage and to speak consoling words, especially in times of difficulty or bereavement. It could also be used as in a militaristic sense, to describe a commanding officer exhorting his troops before going into battle. Knowing that a serious conflict lies ahead of him, the commanding officer speaks words that stir and strengthen the troops before they march off into the fray. In the Old Testament, this word was used primarily to mean to comfort, to show compassion, to encourage, to support, or to strengthen. And actually, the word comfort is used 109 times in the New Testament, mostly by Paul, which talks about and encompasses all of these different things I'm talking about. So when Paul is telling the Thessalonians to comfort one another, you know what he's really saying? God is really saying to us, you do it too. You know, it's not just them back there. We're getting the same instruction. He was telling them and us that we need to give encouragement to those that are around us. Sometimes we're waiting for others to give us encouragement. I've got a great solution here. It's called the gift of giving. If you're looking for a solution, you're looking for an answer, give. Get outside of your current environment. There are many opportunities all around us to be able to really release and to give and to get outside of ourselves. Because, man, when it's all about us, it is misery, right? Yeah, so we give, man. So those who are in the middle of a battle especially need our strengthening words, our supportive presence. So Paul encourages us to cheer them up, give them some kind of boost that will help them make it further along the way. When Al was going through his thing here a couple of weeks ago, you know what? We talked almost every day. And I wasn't preaching to him. I was just connecting with him. I was loving him. We were loving each other. And even in the middle of that, he was sharing things with me and connecting with my heart. You know, I was so thankful. He was like, I want to pray for you. You know, and I'm thinking he's the guy who's kind of going through something. But you know what? We're all going through something. So I was so appreciative of that. So we cheered each other kind of up in that process. Yeah. So that comfort may be speaking words. Maybe speaking words that stir or they bring strength. You kind of see a leader in the military encouraging the troops before they go out into battle. Or it could simply mean a silent, strengthening presence many times, like wives or husbands or close friends, that they give us in our most difficult moments, that you have that reassuring calm. You know, we can't ever forget that often the mere presence of a friend or a companion can bring great comfort to our hearts. They don't even need to say anything, see? There are some people who could hear you speak 1,000 words and still not understand you. And there are others who will understand without you even speaking a word. Isn't that something? Just the mere presence of that person. They don't have to say everything. that they're there. But you know what? In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, that's not all Paul told us to do. He went on to say, wherefore, comfort yourselves and edify one another. Well, that's not a word we use a lot, like I said. It's not common. So what is this talking about? Well, it's a compound word in the Greek language, and it really more easily defined means, Mike Leslie, you'll like this, has to do with construction, and it has to do with house construction, as well as all that is entailed in the building process. So if you've ever built something, had something built, or had someone else come into your home and build something, it can be quite a complicated process, and hopefully it's a good process, right? Matter of fact, Todd, he's got things all the time he's working on and building this and that. And you agree, Todd?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But when all these words are compounded, it describes the enlarging of a house, okay, as well as all that is entailed in the building process. So to add to a house or building, you've got to plan ahead a little bit. Right, Todd? Yeah, right, Mike, Leslie? I'd have you on mute, man. You can't answer. But you got to plan ahead. You got to implement ideas. You got to use certain tools. And yes, you got to make an investment, monetary investment, right? So this word kind of describes a deliberate decision that you have to make, because normally enlarging a house just doesn't happen automatically. You wish it would happen, and you wake up the next morning and, you know, the concrete's poured, the gravel's out there, the astroturf's laid. No, you know it doesn't happen like that. And so there's a strategic way to implement building, right? So it doesn't just look like it was all thrown together at the last minute. And possibly you've been in homes where rooms were added without a permit, without any plan, without any forethought, any thinking, and they really don't look so good. You know, like you walk through the house like, who built this? Who did this? You know. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, he tells us to edify one another. And he was saying, be deliberate about how we encourage other people. Our actions and words should encourage and build people up. That means to add to them, advance them, augment them, enhance them, and improve them in some way. You don't remodel a house and make it look worse in the general sense. You know, you try to do things to build and to make it look better, right? Yeah. So we want to be able to put effort into making other people's lives richer, fuller, better. Not such a bad goal. You know, accidental edification is appreciated when it occurs, but Paul was not really suggesting accidental edification, was he? No, he wasn't asking for haphazard, accidental, occasional exhortation. He was really talking about a well-thought-out plan, like a way to proceed and move forward, just like building a building. Can you imagine somebody just trying to throw something together? Well, we've probably all done it at some point in time, maybe except Tom and Mike Leslie. I want to get you in here, buddy. But you need a plan. You need blueprints. You need the people with the skills to be able to do these things. So, I want to kind of start in the negative a little bit and talk about five ways not to encourage other people, okay? I want to start at that side. Here's number one. One way to really not encourage people is to give unsolicited advice. Oh, my God. I don't know if this should be at the top of the list or what. But we are so prone as human beings to offer our opinions and our advice about situations that really have nothing to do with us. And no one's asking for your advice. If somehow we feel led to offer advice, even when it's not requested. Anybody ever done that? Can you testify to that? Yeah, right. So Anyway, that's one thing just to be conscious of. And another one is to kind of encourage somebody else by saying you know exactly how they feel. You don't know exactly how they feel. You know how you felt maybe if you were in a similar situation. You have no idea how they're feeling, right? Well, I know exactly how you're feeling. No, you don't. You know, I'm the one hobbling around here and going through the different things. So identifying somebody like that doesn't necessarily encourage them. And another thing that encouragement is not, is it's not all about you. That somehow the whole encouragement thing comes back to you being the focus of trying to encourage somebody else. It just happens, you know. And another one is to talk about the exact amount of anything, like weight or money or specific details. That doesn't really encourage people. First of all, it's really probably none of your business, you know. And then, you know, to bring up certain things, it just doesn't encourage people. And here's the last one. We'll move on. And it's tell them what to do. You know what? God bless your hearts. You know, we all have been there. Telling other people what to do. And many times people will come to you kind of, what should I do? What should I do? Tell me, tell me. You know, you can stick it out there and risk it. But, boy, I hope it works. Because if it doesn't, guess whose fault it is? Yeah, you know, Bert told me to, you know, he said, you know, he gave him the, no. We don't tell people what to do. Maybe we advise them of their choices, see, and allow them then to make that particular choice. I always got a kick out of, you know, this is just an isolated incident, but when someone would come to me and just said, I've decided to move to Florida, what do you think? Like, I don't really have an option. You've already made the decision. What do I think? I mean, bam. I mean, it just puts you kind of in a very interesting and unique place to kind of give the rubber stamp approval, I guess. Now, ideally, it'd be nice if they came, I'm thinking about moving. What do you think? You know, and you can kind of have that conversation. But you know what? Encouragement comes in many forms. And many times it's without words. Remember this statement, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Is that something? That our life is telling this story. We're written epistles. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. That's us, guys, out in life. That we're living the word, breathing the word. If there's an opportunity that exists, or maybe we're in the moment walking with God. God says stop and pray for that person in the middle of the grocery store, that we have the willingness and the meekness to submit our will to the will of God and move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, God will get them to probably get them someone else who will do it if we're not willing. Right? And we were just in a situation like this the other day. And yet God will bring that person into somebody else's environment or whatever to get them to the word. But anyway, let's look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Boy, what a great topic.
It is.
Prisoner of hope. Boy. I'm free to go, but I want to stay. You know, it reminds me of that doulos relationship in the Old Testament where they bored their ear with an awl and they had this commitment and then they had the opportunity to be set free. But a lot of times those people who served for so long, they didn't want to leave because the master was so good to them. It's just something. Ephesians 4:29, the New Living Testament, says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. Let everything that you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Okay, I said five things that what encouragement is not. I'm going to give you 20 things. No, I won't give them all to you. I'll give you 20 things because you have to outweigh the negative, right? But maybe a couple of things here anyway. 20 things you could say to somebody. You can do it. You know what? You have Christ in you. And you could take it from whatever point, you know. But you can do it. You encourage. You strengthen a person's courage to take that first step. See, I'd love to be able to pray with you about it. But that is encouraging. That fills a person's heart. That's awesome. Thank you for being my friend. How did it go? That you're showing a genuine interest in people's lives, you know. It's not just some religious activity, you know, that you go through, that you genuinely have love in your heart. And here's a good one. Text me. Let me know how it's going. Let me know what the results of whatever it was went. I'm taking a test. I need, you know. Do you need to talk? I really appreciate you. Have a fantastic time. You worked hard. You deserve it. Way to go. You did great. Let's celebrate that accomplishment. I was so impressed with the way you handled that. Those are not words that beat you down. Those are words that lift you up and build you and strengthen your confidence. You're getting encouraged. You know, what can encouragement mean? But you're building, strengthening courage. More confidence to step out. You are a fabulous example in that area. Is there anything I can do to help? And here's the last one. This is so cool. I bought you some chocolate. You know, I mean, it's kind of silly, but it's like you get to know people, what blesses them, what they like, and then just randomly you bring them something that really blesses them. Blesses them, see, for maybe no apparent reason. So, you know, these are just some examples. But you know what? We can look at this task of edifying people who are feeling overwhelmed and challenge as an activity of every day. See, we will run into people who are overwhelmed. They're everywhere. So, kind of wrapping this up, what plan, or maybe think about having a plan to personally help people. What can you do to help people? See, that can really be a worthy thing, I think, to ask God about. See. And then are you sticking with a plan that God gave you, or are you just hoping for accidental encouragement and growth? Just randomly somebody might say something to you. Why don't you be proactive in taking the action to be the greater lover in the situation? Amen? Yeah. So have you ever comforted anybody during a difficult time? I mean, I think we can all say we have. Well, what was it like? And has anyone ever comforted you in a difficult time? Well, what was it like to experience that comfort? And then what did that comfort do for you personally? Can you describe a time when someone comforted you with spoken words or by putting an arm around your shoulder, by tenderly touching your hand? Just expressing care, just expressing compassion and heart, that they saw something was going on with you and they were concerned. Can you recall when someone gave you strength to make it through another day simply by being there for you? Those are great questions, guys. You know, the Thessalonian church, they're facing great trials and tribulations. So Paul told them, hey, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. He was asking them to be intentional in the way that they helped each other, just not haphazardly. Think God working in you. What a wonderful resource. God is not opposed to giving. It's like, God, is there anything I could do for anybody today? Yeah, write a card to Bert. Send a text to Jeanette. Write this to there. Do, you know, some kind of thing. So, you know, let's stay awake. Let's keep alert. Because today there's going to be opportunities for you to bring your intentional encouragement and support to someone who really needs it. So I want to close with another verse in Romans chapter 14, verse 19. It's a great subject, man. I've said that already, but it is such a great subject. Because it just encompasses so many things that we're all about. We don't have to teach the entire Bible from the beginning to the end. I might just love people, you know, and people respond to love, you know. So Romans 14, this verse I've got. How about you read your verse, Al?
Okay. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another.
Well, there you go. This translation, it is marked, but it says, so then, make it your top priority to live a life of peace with harmony in your relationships, eagerly seeking to strengthen and encourage one another. Boy, what a worthy goal, man. I just want to strengthen people, build people, encourage people, because each and every person that we come in contact with, at least in this room and in the body of Christ, has Christ in them. And our purposes can be to really allow that to prosper and flourish. Now, if I say to Shakti right here, you are such a loving person. I just love the way that you carry yourself, your interest in people, the way that I see you love others. Woo! You know, it melts a person's heart, man. You talk to somebody in the store, you see them say, you know what, that's a really nice blouse you wear. That's a nice smile. There's some complimentary type of thing that you can encourage other people with, because, you know, people get down on themselves. What do we say? They're their own worst enemy. You know, you look in the mirror, you don't see sometimes Christ in you. You know, you see other things, or how you're feeling, whatever. So we have a great opportunity and privilege to comfort one another, encourage one another, because, believe it or not, we're prisoners of the hope, but that enables us to give freely. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this good and gracious love that you have for us, Father. Thank you that we simply walk forward on the greatness of all that you have made us to be in Christ, and that we get to comfort and encourage one another and build one another, Father, and we can do it with a purpose and a plan in mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.